Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
All right, Javier, are the WWE Brain Trust thinking the fans are going to cheer Becky or Doudrop after what we saw tonight? What signals did you get?
That is a good question. I've been trying to figure – I was still trying to figure out some of the other heel versus heel matches they've got set
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten to processing that one yet.
I think they're expecting fans to boo Becky because – Becky slapped Doudrop when Doudrop was accepting Becky's handshake. Becky attacked Bianca Belair. We know Belair is a babyface. So we're doing some kind of basic, you know, if A is greater than C, then C, and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C type logic here. But I think they are suddenly thinking fans are going to cheer Doudrop, even though Doudrop gave a heelish promo earlier in the show. I just think the roster is shallow enough right now, both on Raw and SmackDown, for a variety of reasons, that they're just kind of going with whatever. And I think they'll just let the fans choose. And I get a sense sometimes WWE just doesn't care that much about things they used to care about because they're not in the ticket selling business. They're in the come see the stars, do their sports entertainment WWE thing business now with a ton of guaranteed money coming in. And sometimes it can work out well because they break some old rules that got stale, and other times they can sort of feel like, yeah, we don't have any other options. We're just going to go with it. I think it has a chance to be a good match, though.
I mean, it's more interesting than any of the other stuff that they could have done because with Bianca Belair, I mean, that would probably be stretched out to WrestleMania because you're not going to get a payoff until then. And, you know, going back to Liv Morgan, I don't think I like that. So it's a nice, it's an intriguing match that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think of the main event?
I thought it was really good. I like it when they do in the triple threats, when they basically use their opponent's body as a weapon. And there was plenty of that going on this. So, I dug it. I actually thought, Liv Morgan, you know, brought an attitude that, you know, where she definitely did not want to wilt with those other two women in the ring.
As far as Doudrop goes, tell me how you feel about the journey that she's been on as a character. Do you think WWE has a solid handle on her talent and to me, I think as clumsy and scattershot, I'm loading this question, as her push has been in some ways, it's clear they respect her. They're putting her against Becky. She's getting in a lot of dominant spots. They're not having her get jobbed out. I think they think they're onto something with her. We could have told them that, you know, before they went through a lot of the stuff they went through with her. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm hoping so, but I can't discount that they're just building her up so that, you know, just so that Belair can look even more dominant or Becky look more dominant. Because sometimes they'll end up doing that. And then, you know, she fades away. But I'm thinking that she probably inherited the slot that was for Nia Jax. You know, but with, you know, I think she's more talented. I kind of wish that when she went heel, she would just drop the Doudrop name. Because, you know, and gone back to, you know, Piper Niven or even want to use Viper. Well, I mean, you can't do that because you have Randy Orton. But, you know, go with something more, you know, more like what she looked like in that promo. And, like, they haven't even changed the graphics for when they showed the three of them, and she still looks like the old Doudrop. And not the more, you know, Piper, you know, Viper-esque, you know, Piper Niven, you know, character.
I do want to let you and everybody know, Javier, that every time you complain about Doudrop's name, it adds 1 month onto how long she's going to keep her name. I promise you that. There's nothing Vince McMahon likes more. Not that he's at all aware of it, but there's nothing Vince McMahon would like more than to know that people are complaining about this. And so if you're on her side, start acting bored with it, or bored of it, as my son says, and see if it goes away after that, because he's just going to push back stronger and go, ha-ha. That's what I wanted. I wanted people to be upset.
If anybody's listening, it's not that I hate the name. It's just that it kind of doesn't really fit the fact that she turned heel how she received it and why she's keeping it. So it's more of like a story doesn't make sense and I absolutely hate it. But yeah, it's that's, so hopefully maybe that did the trick. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think of that was a nice try. What do you think of Liv Morgan and her promo tonight and how they're following up on her coming up short? We saw this with Big E, too, after losing. You know, Liv lost a title match, came up short. Big E lost the title. Big E last week on a promo, you know, in addressing the loss. They're having wrestlers address their losses, I think, more than usual. I'm not sure why, and maybe it's recency bias that makes me think that. But I like when wrestlers talk about losing instead of just ignoring it happened and moving on to something else. It makes the match outcomes feel, like, legit and more important.
Yeah, because there was also them bringing up the AJ Styles recent situation with Almas and, with Liv Morgan and Big E. With Liv Morgan, her promos are not my favorite thing, but, you know, it's good enough. My main concern was, like, whether she would, you know, because, I mean, Bianca's really hit it out of the park, and she really looks good, and I've always liked Niven. So I wanted to see how she would look in with them. And, yeah, I mean, I liked what she did. And, you know, I mean, I don't think she's going to be, like, in the top of the card in the women's division, but if they can at least have her be, like, you know, one of those people that bubble up every now and then. I guess kind of like the role that Naomi has. Every now and then Naomi shows up to win the title for a little bit, just to mix things up. I think she could do good in that role.
And my final question on this main event match is Becky Lynch on her promo and then commentary and how she looked afterwards, at the end of the match, interfering to keep Belair from winning. Clearly they're making it seem like she's the opponent that Becky fears most. In totality, did Becky entertain, come across as a star, but also do what a heel should do if the goal is, unlikely to succeed as many think it is, is she doing what a heel needs to do to try to get heel heat?
Yeah, I think she is. And I think the character she's playing is someone who's, you know, the blustery because, you know, she's trying to hide some insecurity. And so she's overdoing it on the whole thing. And you see it in her face when she realizes that, oh, you know, I've got Doudrop now as the opponent. And like she didn't really think things through, basically, was like the look on her face, which I dug.
yeah.
I mean, you know, what I didn't like, I mean, it's not her fault. It's the fact they kept cutting back to her in the middle of the match. And that is one of my bigger pet peeves, you know, and it might be bigger in me than other people that I hate it when they cut across from the match or like if commentary spends too much time, like not paying attention to the match because it's like why is the match on TV if it seems like nobody really cares about it. So I didn't like that there were, you know, sometimes they would cut away from what was going on and wrestlers reacting in the ring just to see her talk. So
they could do an inset or split screen and kind of remind you there's Becky on headset while focusing on the match.
Yeah, that would be a nice way for them to do it. So if they are listening, that would be like a great way. Like, remember when they used to have, they still do every now and then crowd shots, but not like they used to all cut away all the time. That would have been a much better way to do it. A little like, inset thing, picture in picture, so to speak.
Speaking of crowds, did you pick up on when they did a cutaway to Becky, that one fan was like cheering and he sort of half stood up and started swinging his hand around a little bit? Nothing to me that appeared over the top other than a fan showing enthusiasm. But a security guy, like, stood up and told him, sit down, sit down. So apparently there's rules that when you're sitting behind the announcers, you're only allowed to behave in a certain way that you're otherwise encouraged to act like in the rest of the crowd. It was kind of weird. Now, I don't know what he was saying and the backstory on if he was acting increasingly rowdy as the night went on. So I just don't have enough context to question security. But it was quite the image of a security guy telling a fan, calm down, you're at a wrestling show.
Well, if he's behind the commentary team, that might make sense because they're, you know, on commentary and you don't want to like open the door for someone to try to distract commentary.
Yeah. Although if they're professionals, they should be distracted.
Yeah. But
easy for me to say, every time a cat walks by, I get distracted, but.
Or a neighbor looks in your window.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't look in my window. I'm looking out the window at them. If they looked at my window, well, I guess if they're walking by and they glance, that's different. But if someone comes up to the window in the middle of the podcast and starts staring in here, I'd be like, that's really weird. Okay, what was I going to say? You threw me off track. Oh, they should make that the family section. Like, if they don't want people to, like, drink and act weird, just, like, make the 10 rows by 8, you know, 10 by 10 behind the announcers, make that the family section. No drinking and no boisterous behavior. And then they can actually, like, not take the fun away from fans who just want to have their moment on TV. Anyway, Javier, let's pause and introduce the show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast for Monday, January 10th, 2022. And I'm Wade Keller, the editor, publisher, founder of Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, the most frequent guest of all time on the Steve Austin Podcast. You might have recently heard me on Talk is Jericho, talking about the Vince McMahon steroid trial back in 1994 and reviewing the documentary that Vice did on that, Dark Side of the Ring. And I appreciate you joining us here today for the Raw Post Show. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, reviewing the live TV shows that just completed. You can always find a link to our live streaming post shows, the audio version of them, by going to WadeKellerPostShow.com or just finding the link at PWTorch on Twitter. We usually post a link in the last few minutes of the TV show and also in my TV reports on our main website at PWTorch.com. Just look for the link at the top and bottom of my reports on Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Patrick Moynihan will be joining me this Wednesday night after Dynamite, and we will have Johnny Fairplay as our on-site correspondent once again. So that should be a lot of fun. The other voice you hear so far in tonight's show covering Raw is Javier Machado. He is a PWTorch.com and PWTorch VIP contributor. Javier, welcome to the co-host here. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to be here as always.
Excellent. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Javier, tell people briefly what you do for PWTorch, how they can find more of you.
I do the New Japan Pride podcast. I'm restarting it in the next, hopefully in this week or next week. I had to take time off because of the holidays and stuff like that. So New Japan Pride podcast on the VIP side. And I also do I keep forgetting what they're called. Why is my brain not working? It's way too early in the call for me to, you know.
I'm not helping. At least
the primers.
Not yet.
The yeah. Primers. There we
there
go.
There you go.
the primers for pay-per-views and what are now called premier live events. Is that
yeah.
What it is?
Yeah. Yeah. PLEs.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if it was premier or premium. One of the two. So premier sounds.
Oh
yeah.
No. Yeah. It's premier. I don't know what you said. PLEs.
Yeah. Okay. So premium. Yeah. So premium. Okay. Yes. I said premier.
Oh, well, then I'm wrong. You're wrong. I'm wrong and you're wrong.
But so the BLEs. I do the primers for those, and I am hoping to maybe I'll talk to you a little bit later. But I'm trying to get back into Impact with a lot of interesting stuff that's been happening. Impact.
Yeah.
Tom Phillips, the former Tom Phillips, showing up as commentator. I was really disappointed when Stryker left. When I heard the Stryker was leaving, because I like him 25% of the time. I was rather happy when I heard that it was Tom Phillips, who's I like a robot on the
yeah
chair.
he was going to debut in early December, but there was a programming glitch reprogramming him, and
yeah.
So they had to reboot him and refeed in a lot of information about Impact history that didn't quite take the first time. You know, he had to wipe. I'm told, and it's just one source, and I usually don't report one source stuff, but I'm told they had to wipe the hard drive completely and rebuild his entire knowledge base. But that could work out well for everybody. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm genuinely looking forward to how he handles himself differently, not being produced under WWE's parameters, and you know, he comes across differently.
I mean, I always understood his your criticism of him when he was on the main roster. I loved him in NXT. Him and Graves on NXT really felt like it was like a not as good, obviously, but like a Gorilla Monsoon and Heyman, you know, kind of relationship. And I think they were playing into that. So I dug it a lot.
I don't know what you think I have against robots, but I never criticized Tom Phillips. I just reported facts that a lot of people, for some reason, shied away from, which is that Tom Phillips was a robot. That is not criticism. I enjoyed his commentary. And for a robot, it was magnificently human-like. And I think he did a fine job, and I think he was the – I don't know. I guess Vic Joseph and Tom Phillips both, I think, did underrated – have done underrated work on Raw. I thought Vic was better than the two people who have come since. Although I mean this genuinely, I think Jimmy Smith has improved, especially since he had a cold and couldn't talk like he's lifting heavy objects. And now he's talking like a human being the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's just much more pleasant. And I think he's actually found a groove a bit.
And his knowledge base also has improved a lot. He's actually calling moves and stuff. And now actually getting, you know, stuff from Graves because he calls moves. So,
So no, I mean genuinely, I've never said Jimmy wasn't going to get better. I said they put him on the air too quickly, and it was clear he did have knowledge. He was falling on a few catchphrases, and he talked like this, and I just don't get that. Why he thought that was a good thing, and now he hasn't for the last couple of weeks since he had that cold and couldn't do it, and he sounded so much better. So hopefully that he doesn't return to that. Anyway. Let's get to our phone calls here because it's a live interactive show. We love when our listeners call and join the conversation and bring up topics and points of view we would not otherwise bring up. You are invited to do so if you're listening to us live. Our phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Again, if you're listening to us on delay, downloading our show through a podcast app or streaming us on pwtorch.com, you are invited to join us live right after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. We go on the air 5, or if someone hits their mute button while we're trying to log onto the show, a co-host, I'm not naming names, we might be starting 10 minutes after Raw ends instead of 5. Usually it's my fault when we're late, but Javier, I'm just throwing you out of the bus.
It wasn't a button, it was a slider.
Yes, okay, thank you. Yeah, I stand corrected. That was super relevant. in a way it is because a slider is like – anyway, never mind. So give us a call. When you call that number, push 1 on your keypad. If you want to join the conversation, that flags you on our switchboard. You can also email us, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. You don't need to listen to the live stream in order to get your point of view across. We'll read your emails on the air or to ask us a question. And finally, if you want to be an on-site correspondent, in other words, if you're attending Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown anytime coming up in the next couple months, if you bought tickets at a time, let us know if you want to join us on the show afterwards. Send an email to wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Put in the subject line on-site correspondent and the name of the city. Because the name of the city is what I do a search for when trying to line up our correspondents and finalize arrangements. And we'd love to have you. I know it's sometimes tough with Dynamite when they do long tapings afterwards, but it's always fun to hear from people who are in the building on Raw and SmackDown. We had someone planning to go today and then decided not to at the last second or couldn't do something that I can't remember now. So if you're listening to us in Philly, give us a call. We don't have an on-site correspondent. We do have correspondents lined up the rest of the week, but sometimes it's fun to have two. So never hesitate to email and let us know if you're attending. By the way, we also are interested in results of live house show events, non-televised events. So if you attend, for instance, like the Boston show last night, we didn't get a report. Send that along too. Just number the matches and say who be who and give us some details on the match and crowd reactions and such. And we'll publish it on pwtorch.com. All right, Javier, let's jump to those aforementioned phone calls. We're going to start with Nick in Brattleboro and then Justin in Charlotte is on deck. Nick, thanks so much for calling and holding. What did you think of Raw tonight? What stood up?
My pleasure. Happy New Year, Javier. Always good to talk to you. And Wade, of course.
Happy New Year,
always great to speak with you. Just a quick question to start off. Philadelphia is known for its crowds. I found this crowd very subdued, especially for a Philadelphia crowd, and you know, and I could obviously see some of the, you know, times when they're pumping in huge sound and everyone on camera is just sitting there with their hands crossed. But I was just wondering what your impressions was of the audience. It just seemed very subdued, especially for Philly.
Yeah, I mean they went crazy for Brock at the beginning, and, you know, they panned the crowd for that. And they reacted to Becky. They reacted to RK-Bro. Javier, what do you think overall in terms of – I'm just kind of thinking through the reaction to the top stars. I thought that was there. It's just, there wasn't an abundance of top stars, and there was some awkward heel-heel situations. And, yeah, so – and so much more to get into, including, like, Seth pinning Big E clean and all that, which we'll get into. But your thoughts, Javier, on the crowd reactions and what there was that maybe they didn't react to, if you thought that.
Yeah, I was trying to pay attention to the crowd because I'm like, man, this doesn't feel like a Philly crowd. Although it felt like there were Philly people there because there was some, you know, some stuff that, you know, it seemed like people were trying to get started or, you know, kind of sort of hijack the show. Because, I mean, during the Lashley, it sounded like there was a group trying to start, was trying to do the what chant, and the rest of the crowd didn't come, you know, didn't come along with them. There was a also for Lashley. I think it seemed like they're trying to start a Bobby Who or something like that. You know, going along with the knock knock joke. But it didn't really feel like anybody picked up. So yeah, it seemed more like it was like what you see in any other city with only just a couple people maybe trying to start something and didn't. And I don't know. Maybe they pumped something into the air or something to calm everybody down.
I mean, they didn't even pop.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. They didn't even pop for Dutch Schultz and the Flyers. I mean, it was like they must have imported everybody from New Jersey. I don't know. It just was weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were anticipating more than they got, you know, because it is Philly. You know, Lesnar going, it's great to be here. And the idea, you know, was referencing Heyman and ECW. At some point, you know, you wonder when does that crowd age out where some references to, you know, the mid to late 90s. I mean, that's just not the crowd that's attending Raw in the year 2022, you know, at least not in large numbers. The people who are like, you know, super into that. So, you know, in some ways WWE's audience is changing. And I think AEW has peeled off some of them who would normally be raucous in Philly. You know, I reach out to some former on-site correspondents and who had been on-site correspondents for us on Raw and SmackDown, and they're like, I'm not going to Raw, but I'm going to Dynamite in 6 weeks, you know, that kind of thing. I get that a lot. And so, you know, some of that I think is at play here too. I think WWE just is earning the audience they get, and it's not the type of audience that's going to give you that Philly reaction that we got years ago.
Yeah, it's more like the Disney on Ice audience.
Yeah.
I mean, We'll know they're in trouble if they go to Montreal and it's silent.
Yeah, really.
The show was strange tonight. I mean, I'm kind of over Brock. I know I'm probably one of a very few, but I'm just kind of over him. But more, it's like they beat Randy and Riddle. They beat Big E. I mean, you mentioned it. They're not shy about doing messed up finishes, and they let that one go to a straight out pinned in the middle of the ring. I was surprised by both of those. Unless they're going to run back the Orton Riddle match for Royal Rumble.
Well, Nick, I want to be careful we don't complain about clean finishes when we complain about non-clean finishes. I mean, I do feel sometimes WWE's got to be sitting there listening to this show, and I know people in WWE and AEW listen to this, and they've just got to be like, come on. You know, don't like distraction finishes. You don't like this and that and that. So we finally give you some clean finishes, and now you're all baffled and befuddled and bispectacled. I just had to find another B. And you know, how can we win? But it is different. You know, I mean, I'm glad Orton lost, not Riddle, because Riddle losing I don't think legitimizes Gable and Otis all that much because, you know, Riddle's sort of the designated jobber guy. And they're putting over Otis. And, you know, the Big E Seth thing is that an absolute talking point. And, I mean, it crossed my mind, is Big E's contract coming up and he's going to AEW and WWE's writing him off and that's what's going on here? Or is this a wait-and-see situation? And I think wait-and-see gets a bad rap because I think it's important to not think you know everything about where a storyline is going the second they tell you chapter one or chapter two even. So I'm willing to be patient. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you were disappointed in some long-term payoffs in the past, that you don't have a right to be skeptical or cynical or nervous. You do. But a lot of times people lose, and it's part of a story. So anyway, Javier, your thoughts on any or all of that?
Let's start with the Seth Biggie match. At one point, just side note, there was a stretch muffler in the match, and it was right around that point where I had the thought, so it's automatically 5 stars for me. I love that move. right around the stretch muffler point, the match had been going on for a while, and I started thinking, man, this has been a really good match. It'd be a shame that's going to probably end in a screwy finish. So at that point, I was already, you know, setting myself up, and commentary was just hammering home the point that, oh, this is not the same Big E. He's been, you know, down. This is not the same Big E. The moment Big E takes the pin is the moment I said Big E's winning the Royal Rumble. Because what they're going to do is just probably have him lose a couple more times and tell the story of, like, oh, yeah, this is not him, and he's going to get it all together and then just, you know, win the Rumble, and then that's going to be the moment. Because it kind of like when you move from one brand to the one brand, they start, you know, beating you, but you're going to move to one brand to the other one. Winning the Rumble, like, is to them, is like something that erases all sins. You win the Rumble, you're like you're equal to the champions. So I think they can get away with a match like the way that he lost to Seth Rollins, and just, you know, because it gives Seth Rollins something he needs for when he goes up against Roman Reigns, and and then just Royal Rumble, he just wins it, and like all sins are forgiven. No one's going to remember these, you know, this loss, and probably one. I wouldn't doubt it's between now and Rumble he loses one more time.
Yeah, it's almost a spoiler, Javier, when you say that. You know, when someone starts losing, it's because they're going to have a big win coming up, and or they're moving to a different brand, which is still the silliest thing that WWE does, which is saying something. Nick, what else for us? I want to throw back to Javier because I don't think he finished. Yeah.
Yeah, because the other match that you mentioned was the Orton and Riddle one, and I thought that was genius in a different way, because the idea is that Riddle's always been the one who's losing for the team and getting them in trouble, and now, you know, I love how the match was structured and how they've been structured lately, which is, you know, Riddle, you know, getting, you know, beaten up, and then, you know, the hot tag to Orton, and then, you know, but then this time Orton doesn't come through, so it's really Orton who lost, so which was a huge surprise. You know, and so I'm really intrigued to see whether this is the start of them about to break up, or, like, you know, they like regather themselves and go after Alpha Academy. So I'm not expecting that ending, but I'm more interested in what's happening with them than I've been in a long time.
Go ahead.
I have no problem with building up Chad and Otis. I think Chad Gable has been so badly underused by this company. I think when Jordan got hurt, they had no idea of exactly what to do with Gable, and he just kind of floated around. And, you know, I'm not going to say the S word, if they want to give them a couple month run with the titles, I'm cool with that. The only other kind of weird thing tonight to me was Nikki Cross's turn to the dark side. It seemed to me that I thought Ripley was going to do that, and it almost seemed to me that if Bianca Belair is going to beat Becky, you want to build up some other heels for her to go against, i.e. Rhea Ripley. And having a small, teeny heel, unless she goes back to her insanity character, it seems strange. And I will leave you guys with that and let you get to some other callers. And always great to talk to you guys.
Great, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Here as always, Javier, the idea that Nikki should stay with Nikki A.S.H. as a babyface when fans are rejecting it, and turn who I think is a popular female wrestler, Rhea Ripley, heel, I feel would be going against the grain. But I hear what Nick is saying in terms of the size issue with Nikki. My vote is for what they did, though. I think Nikki as a heel, whether she sheds the almost a superhero thing or just kind of leans into it in a heelish way, I look forward to either of those scenarios better than her continuing as a babyface. And I think it's a DOA feud if Ripley's a heel, because I think fans are going to cheer Ripley against Nikki. Even if they try to make Ripley the heel, this is actually, again, going with what the fans, I think, want and listening to the crowd. And I will take that and not worry about the size difference. How about you?
Yeah, I was hoping when they started on the path to this that it would have led to the emergence, the reemergence of Nikki Cross just throughout the ASH thing. And now that you don't have the other Cross on the company anymore, she could reclaim
right.
that name, and then go and become, what Nick said, the sanity Nikki, and hell, that would have worked better with the kind of character that Ripley, is. So I thought that would have been a if you wanted to keep them together. But I do agree with you that I'm just glad that if you're going to break them up and have one heel, one face, that's the direction that they went for now. Although, I do think that Ripley, when I saw her in the UK against Toni Storm, she was great as a heel. But for the time being, if they're going to do some of that, for the time being, I do like that. It's Nikki who's the one who turns heel, and it maybe might lead to some fun stuff with, almost a supervillain or something like that. So there might be some interesting stuff.
Wait, what's
her.
The acronym for that? Let's be sure it's safe. ASL. ASV, yeah, supervillain.
Yeah.
So ASV, so S's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's not too bad. Yeah. Just checking up here. I just don't want you to give
us not going to be a porn star.
Yes. All right, our number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. If you're live streaming us, you are welcome to call. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. We'll go next, as noted, to Justin in Charlotte, and on deck, Mike in Atlantic City. Justin, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. What'd you think of Raw tonight? What stood out?
Going on, fellas. I felt this particular show was a mixed bag. There's things I like, there's things I didn't like. I kind of want to touch on the open segment with Lashley and Lesnar.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why it was this particular week and why it wasn't on SmackDown or even last week on Raw. I'm just not digging this Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar stuff. I felt this babyface Brock by himself was working very well. And I mean, maybe the caller before was right in the sense that maybe it just was a flat crowd, but I really expected the fans to really be into that Lesnar and Lashley segment, but I felt like they didn't know who to cheer because you still have Paul Heyman with them, and I just wonder how this segment would have worked out had they just left Heyman off television until he does his turn or whatever development that they can make with Paul Heyman where he can be more defined, because I don't know. I expected that crowd to really be into this. I mean, this is the first face-off they've had. So what do you guys think about that as far as them – is bringing Heyman back with Brock Lesnar right now kind of doing more harm than good for a reaction for Lesnar right now?
Yeah, Javier, we're haven't gotten into another kind of big topic on this show, which is – whatever's going on with Reigns and Heyman and Lesnar, I would have a hard time explaining to somebody who only watched last week's Raw, this week's SmackDown, and last week's Raw, what the heck is going on with those three.
Yeah, I'm at the point where now I actually need to know what the Paul Heyman storyline is, which hopefully it doesn't get back to anyone in the WWE, because that means usually that's when they, get rid of somebody because the spotlight's not on the actors that they want the spotlight to be on. But yeah, I mean, I just don't know where his constitution is, and I'm more interested in finding out what's going on with him than I am with Roman Reigns or Lesnar. So, but yeah, I mean, that's because I'm trying to figure out where his loyalties is, and I'm paying less attention to what's going on with the other people. And just like, that you had that weird moment between them on SmackDown, where Lesnar speak down to him, and then this feels like they're just buddy-buddy, and it almost feels like it's like you're watching two different, like, seasons of a show at the exact same time.
Yep.
Where characters are in different places, and, like, they're just airing the episodes, and you're expected to follow them, you know, follow along like that. So it's just kind of been kind of hard to figure out what's going on based on, you know, because you're telling two completely different stories with Lesnar, and it doesn't seem like the stuff that's going on with Lashley and Lesnar is really going to be interfering in any way with what's going on with Lesnar and Roman.
Yeah, I was hoping Javier, you could explain it to me, and you didn't help. I'm like, no, this makes sense, Wade, because of this and then that.
This
is
a wait and see, man. This is definitely a wait and see. You know, and that's all I can.
I say wait and see when there isn't contradictory things going on. Like, just, hey, somebody lost. You're not happy. Let's see what story they're telling and if this makes sense. And, you know, like, but this, to me, just feels like it's bad storytelling. I mean, I know they had the audible and there's certain room for, like, hey, give them a break. They had this, you know, curveball thrown at them. But, I mean, Lesnar was, like, not – it seemed like Lesnar and Heyman were in a bad place, and Reigns was coming to Heyman's defense, and now they're all buddy-buddy, and Heyman's just loyal by Lesnar. And, yeah, it feels like at least two different storylines going on, and I think this storyline deserves to be held to a higher standard than what we're seeing. The announcers aren't even talking. I mean, they showed the video package. They didn't include everything that happened, and now the announcers aren't bringing up the things that I think the average viewer is thinking about, which is that dissension between Heyman and what seemed like dissension or tension between Heyman and Lesnar, and Reigns coming to Heyman's defense. Is that what really happened? Did they not intend for that to come across? And if they did, how can they just completely ignore that?
Well, the one that actually I've kind of paid attention, I'm going to see, you know, and by the way, I mean, like, see what happens on Friday when they get back together, see, you know, whether they tie this into it or not. But it was the when I like the line when Lesnar goes and does the knock-knock joke, and then Heyman's like, you know, all these years, and you know, what was it? I think I wrote that down. Lesnar makes a knock-knock joke. I never thought I would live to, you know, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That seems like this is out of character for Lesnar. So let's see, like, you know, if that's, it may be a joke now, but it might be mean more next week. Not next week, but on Friday.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm, you know, hoping that there is some sort of tie between those two. Other than that, it might just be that because of the stuff that happened, they're accelerating one story, and they're starting the Lashley story earlier. Because like you mentioned that, you know, things are, you know, the end goal is still the same.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just how they got there different. And it might be that, you know, some stuff might've been accelerated with either Lashley or with Reigns while other things slowed down or, you know, or they're catching up with the other stuff. So that might also be what's going on. And in that case, it's a shame because, you know, the storyline has been so good that, you know, having to make the, you know, have being on two different timelines is kind of like, you know, disappointing.
Well, let me throw back to Justin. Any follow-up on what Javier and I had to say about this?
Yeah, I just feel like I wouldn't have did that segment on SmackDown. I just wouldn't. I would have done what I did on Raw last week, and I just wouldn't have had them interact because now I'm thinking, you know, Heyman's going to cost Lesnar a title, but after what's going on these last two shows, why would Roman Reigns care about Brock Lesnar losing the WWE title now? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me now, where it made more sense logically to me a week ago. And so I don't really know what the rush was to bring back Paul Heyman. I understand how significant he is to the Lesnar-Roman story, but, again, you know, we're talking long-term storytelling, which obviously WWE doesn't do. And so this particular storyline is always held to the highest standard, like you said, Wade, because it's Roman. But this kind of feels like any other storyline you would see on WWE television, where it's like it's week to week. You know, it's hard for me to believe that one absence all of a sudden pushed their story back so far to the point they can't put the puzzle back together. And so I didn't like the segment too much. I just I would have rather if they just left Heyman off television. I thought we was going to get some MVP Heyman interaction. We really didn't get that. So I don't know. Just two more things I would like to touch on before I go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You guys talked about the main event to open the show. I just hated the finish, Doudrop winning. I mean, here's someone who's lost three straight matches on television, and now she's the number one contender. And, you know, again, I think I talked about this weeks ago where you're releasing so many people, we're starting to kind of see the effects from that. We see it in the Royal Rumble where they got to bring so many people back from the past, and now we're seeing it with their booking where it's like, we don't have anybody else. You know, I mean, I guess they're saving Bianca for WrestleMania, so they didn't want her to be in the match, and everybody knew Liv Morgan push was done after day one. But it's like, when you have to put someone who you've beaten 3 weeks in a row in a title match, you know, you should see that you're putting yourself in a bad situation. I mean, who wants to see I mean, I know you guys were talking highly about it, but from a booking standpoint, why should the crowd at Royal Rumble, why should I be invested storyline where you got this one woman who's lost like one match in like 3 years versus this woman who has like one win since like October? Like, from an interest level standpoint, if you watch these weekly shows, why should I have any interest in that match?
That is a problem. I mean, the idea that losses don't matter or that they matter temporarily and then they just shift to, hey, look what happened the last week or two. Forget about all that other stuff. I mean, it is a product of having a really, really shallow roster. Javier.
Yeah, and it's also, I think their mentality is that every single person on the roster is equal, with the exception of the some people who are more equal than others, like the Roman Reigns. But the everybody else in the roster is equal. So on any given day, one wrestler can beat the other because they're just equal, and that's why that seems to be why they talk about momentum all this time, because it's not because this person's better, it's that they just happen to have momentum on their side right now, so that's why they won a bunch of matches in a row. So they expect that you just get that one win, and now like we're supposed to believe in them. But for just about anybody, that's not the way it works. Is someone just lost a feud? I mean, and Doudrop lost definitively the feud against Bianca Belair. They think that at that point Bianca Belair should be the one going after after the title. But then they put Doudrop into the triple threat match, despite the fact that she didn't really earn her place. But hey, now she won, so hey, look, she's just as good as anybody else. It kind of, at the end, it basically just makes everyone again feel like it's 50-50 and no one really matters, no one really stands out, which is why whenever you see somebody like on a massive run like Damian Priest had in a while back, and I think he still really hasn't lost except for losing his temper, that stands out because they don't treat everybody that way.
All right, Justin, I don't know if we made you feel any better about it, but yeah, I mean, this is the way they're going to tell their stories, even Gable and Otis being tag champs, I mean, Gable was not treated as, Gable's great. I'm glad he's getting a push, but maybe they've done enough to rehab him, or maybe it's just been long enough that, WWE fans have been conditioned to not really remember, but he just wasn't treated as real serious. And now they've decided they think he's talented and they like him and the chemistry with Otis. And obviously Otis is the bigger person being pushed here, but still it's, if they had a deeper roster and more people to, kind of be mid-card wrestlers who can fill some TV time credibly, they'd be better off. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I don't like the comparisons to AEW and WWE because almost every wrestling media you hear these comparisons. It's like, if I want to hear about AEW, I listen to an AEW show. But this is one of those times where you kind of just look at two companies and say, this is something that WWE can take from AEW, as far as you wouldn't see this on their television. You wouldn't see somebody who's lost a bunch of matches in a championship match on the second biggest show of the year. You just wouldn't see that. And, I guess they think we got goldfish type of, memory where we just don't remember anything that goes on television. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Lesnar match. I'm looking forward to the Reigns match. That's why I didn't have a problem with Big E losing tonight. But this women's match and, this, I don't know. The last thing I want to touch on before I go is the Alexa Bliss segment, which, I mean, I was disappointed because I was expecting something more after a week's build. And the only thing that I, the saving grace for me, because I'm a huge fan of hers, but the only saving grace for me at this point is this is eventually going to lead to her going back to her old character, because going back to the Fiend character after a four-month absence, to me, I mean, that's all you got, creative team. I mean, it's like 27 of you writers back there. So it's like, you know, what do you guys think about that segment? And, you know, what's your guys' thoughts?
Javier, go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you. I don't think they're going to back to her old character. I think they're going to basically just tweak the Fiend version of the character and probably tone down the supernatural and just, you know, just have her be, you know, more like Harley Quinn as opposed to, you know, like a demon of the night. I think that's kind of, you know, cause more of the direction that they're going to be end up going with her characters is because that's kind of like she came across more Harley Quinn in this than she had previously in the stuff that they were doing.
All right, Justin, anything else you want to bring up?
That's about it. It's just a mixed bag show. I don't mean to be a sourpuss, but you know,
no, not at all.
You invest into the product, and it's like you just, you know, I don't know. These cuts are starting to like show up a little bit. It's more in the women's division right now because they have more men, but you know, you just think, man, when you get rid of so many people from last year to this year, how long, when is it going to catch up with them? And I think we're seeing that a little earlier than expected. But thanks for the taking my call, and hope you guys enjoy your evening.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, our number is 347-215-8558. Feel free if you're listening to us and haven't chimed in yet. You can just push 1 on your keypad after you call us, and still make it onto the show, probably. All right, we'll go to Mike in Atlantic City, and then on deck is William in San Diego. Mike, welcome. Thank you for calling. What'd you think of Raw tonight? What stood up?
I liked a lot of stuff, actually. I liked the Rollins match with Big E. That was a nice, fresh match. You know, the main event, I knew it was great, the women's triple threat. I was and I wanted to touch on Liv here because I think Liv is looking better and better all the time. I mean, she looked great against Becky at day one. And tonight she went out there. I think she killed it. And if you end her push here, you know, I just think that's such a shame. I mean, she deserves some kind of run, even if they don't do it until, you know, summertime. But, like, she's earned, you know, a chance to, you know, prove herself as a champion, even if it's just a short reign. And this is why I wish the women had another belt. I know you're not a fan of, you know, more belts, Wade, but this is why I wish the women had, like, a singles belt besides the world titles to compete for. Because then you could have, you know, you could have Liv, you know, she could fight for that belt now. You know, get rid of the women's tag team titles and have, like, a women's version of an intercontinental title or something like that. And I think that would be great for Liv right now because, like, she's getting better and better all the time. You're, like, you're making a star here. If you just keep it up with her, you know, she's getting better and better in the ring. Her promos are getting stronger and stronger. She's got the fan base. She's got the passion. So they're creating a star here if they keep up with Liv. I mean, they did a great job with Belair, and they just need to keep it going, I think, here with Liv. So
Mike,
and what's your take on another belt?
Mike, are you a sports fan of any other sports?
Yeah, Mike? Casual. Like, I don't have a lot of time with work and everything. Like, I try to follow it in the newspaper and everything, catch games here and there, yes. Like, football,
like
basketball,
sport?
Baseball.
Yeah. So, should there be, you think there should be, like, baseball? Should there be two World Series? Because there's, you know, so many good teams that really deserve to win the World Series.
Two World Series?
Yeah, I mean, why not let there be two parades every year? Let two cities celebrate. There's a lot of good teams out there. Like, I said facetiously, And somewhat rhetorically, because I think if you give a parade to every, you know, to too many people, the parades have diminishing value. And there's already super shallow women's divisions where we're getting awkward matchups because, you know, realistically, they just are cutting costs left and right. They got to pay for Lesnar to walk to the ring and talk for 5 minutes. And that's that one walk to the ring and 5 minute promo probably is more than the salary of, you know, a whole year's worth of 10 wrestlers they cut. So in some ways, cutting the roster is kind of silly, but in other ways, hey, their top stars are expensive. And if you have a third women's singles title on Raw and SmackDown with how shallow the roster is, it's almost like just, you know, having four Stanley Cups every year. So the good teams with star players get to skate around with a cup. I just think there's diminishing returns. So, I mean, I know what you're saying about Liv and all that. The answer is this third option, which is gives Liv Morgan something important that feels important that doesn't necessarily involve a championship belt. Javier, your thoughts?
Yeah, because I equate it to New Japan, because if you don't follow New Japan, at one point, I mean, still kind of is, there. Every single event is basically 90 belts, because they have the...
Yep.
Their big belt, they've got like they had the IC belt, they recently just got rid of that. They got the NEVER title, they've got the US title, they've got the light heavyweight. You got two different sets of tag team titles. You have the trios title. I'm probably forgetting something. So that's essentially like your entire card is nothing but title matches. And the thing is that because of, you know, the pandemic and stuff that's going on, Wrestle Kingdom just happened, and there were a couple, like, special singles matches, and it was really weird for me watching that because they never had that because it's always about a title. So, you know, so I don't like the idea, you know, I'm critical of AEW having, you know, the TBS title for the women because it's yet another title. So, yeah, I don't what Liv should be doing is wrestling. Cause what I thought that originally that Bianca was going to win this and that Doudrop was going to pick a fight with Liv Morgan and that be the second women's feud going on the show. And then the winner of that would then be propelled to wrestle, you know, whoever the winner of Bianca Belair and Becky would be. And that's the way you would want it to be, you know. Bianca beats Becky, and then you know Doudrop beats Liv, and then it's Doudrop and or you know vice versa, and just mix those four up. She doesn't really need a belt for that. But you just keep her relevant and within striking distance, and you pretty much get the same thing. I think you actually get more out of it because. Part of the reason why Wade said is, you know, just, you know, it, another belt when your division's that thin is more like a participation award, which is what, like, the Trios title in New Japan is. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Mike, I think we're both giving you a thumbs down on the idea, but I understand, you know, what sparked the sentiment for it.
Yeah, because I mean, I understand what you're saying. But you could keep her higher by just putting her in important stuff that is eventually going to lead into, you know, another title shot.
But the problem is WWE doesn't. I see what you guys are saying, but the problem is WWE doesn't really seem like they know how to do that. I mean, look at Shelsey. Now, what is she doing now? Right? That's what I'm saying. Like they don't. That's why I say, you know, if you're going to have another woman's title, don't do women's tag team titles. The only time those titles meant anything is when Sasha and Bayley had them. You know, I loved them back then, but now, like, they don't mean nothing. So get rid of them if you're going to have a title for the women besides the world titles and have what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? If you're, you know, unless you're going to have, like what you guys were saying, have them being, like, an important feud, and I'm all for that. I want that too, but if they're not going to do that, then I that's my point there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
anything else for us? Yeah.
Yeah, about Alexa Bliss. What do you guys think of I know you guys touched on that. I don't know really what I want for her next. I mean, I kind of miss the old Bliss, but I also like this Alexa Bliss because, you know, it is entertaining. You never know what she's going to do. She's so good at playing the role. And, yeah, I think I want this gimmick, you know, to last for a little while before she would go to the old Bliss. I know a lot of fans hate on it, but you know, I'm a fan of it. She just does it so good. And, you know, but do you guys think she should be heel? Maybe she should go full-blown heel.
I think she should go full-blown babyface because I think fans like her, and I would have voted for a complete overhaul
That's
of her character. And I'm sort of hoping this therapist has a breakthrough moment with her that causes her to snap out of this, and that these therapist sessions are to transition her into something completely different where she almost doesn't even remember that this all happened except for footage that's shown to her, and she has a distaste for looking at it because she goes, that's not me. I don't even know what happened. Something along those lines. I want a full refresh on her. I don't think there's a ton of equity left in someone who can look at pendulum balls and stop them with her eyes and that kind of nonsense. I don't think that's what WWE's target audience wants. If they react to her, it's because they like her. I think they'd like her in a different role. Javier?
Yeah, I mentioned that's what I mentioned. Just dropped, not a complete change to like none of this happened, but a mutation into something that's more palatable. And I mean, I'm saying the Harley Quinn just makes sense because that's one of the most popular characters DC has, and you know they're just pushing her all over the place, and there's a lot of there are a lot of like she brings that character a lot to mind. So.
As a face or a heel, can it work both ways?
That character usually works because the Harley Quinn character was a villain at first, but she was so likable that people just glommed onto her and turned her face, essentially in the cartoons. So it's basically someone who's kind of crazy, but like fun crazy as opposed to but you could in wrestling swap them both and make them be more sinister or make them be more like, I don't want to say goofy because goofy in terms of the WWE means something completely different than the real world. But, hopefully, you know what I mean? Not goofy WWE goofy, but like, more fun than more mischievous than anything else.
Mike, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, for the Women's Royal Rumble. I mean, because I'm hearing Sasha is not going to be in it now, and I was rooting for her to win it. So if she's not going to be in it because of her injury, yeah, that's a shame there. But I'd like to see. I think think the right one is to go over. Could Liv win it? That'd be good if Liv won it. Bliss. I don't know who really. I mean, Charlotte. I have this feeling they're going to go with Charlotte. But yeah, I don't know. It's intriguing. Just to see who's going to win this thing now. What are your guys' picks?
Man, I want to wait a couple more weeks before getting too deep into Rumble predictions, or we won't have anything to talk about, plus I'm punting a little bit. The Sasha thing's unfortunate, with the injury. I don't know if that changes where they were going or not, or delay things. The different women being brought in, I don't really see anybody getting a win, but you having a chance to win, but I haven't fully thought, well, what does the Sasha injury do if that was the plan for her to win? Javier, your thoughts?
I figure out what Bayley's up to, whether she's ready to come back, because that's one of the biggest names I can think of. Bianca Belair, they're going to be doing the story where Becky is ducking her, so she has to win another one so she can get at Becky. If they want to merge the rosters, they have it set up where, because they talked about, Lesnar and Reigns, belt versus belt. And it could be a possibility that if Charlotte wins, and then Charlotte challenges Becky if Charlotte wins, I would actually think that they actually might end up unifying the rosters.
Yeah, I don't know how. I know that's snowballing right now. The idea that they'll unify the belts and unify the rosters, with all the cutbacks, there's some credibility there to the idea that they might be entertaining it. But man, I think there's so much peril in that. So many people who want that end up, I think, regretting it a couple months later when they get the same wrestlers on both shows, and the shows become much less relevant, and then other wrestlers, mid-card rising stars don't get a chance for any TV exposure because of in the race for ratings. They just want to put stars on every show to try to, in short run, draw ratings and please the network executives. So I personally hope they're not going that way. Mike.
That was not an endorsement for me.
Oh, right. No, I can tell. Yeah. Yes. Mike, any closing words from you?
I think that's it, guys. I'll let you guys get the other calls. And if you have Kyle on the line, we need his opinion on our first topic. That'll be interesting about Liv and more belts and all that.
Yeah, Kyle is not calling in as often now. I don't know what's up. I hope he's okay. Kyle, we miss you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody misses Kyle, but I do, and a lot of people do.
I miss Kyle.
Yes. No, I do too. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
He was on the SmackDown. Have a good one. I think he was on the SmackDown one that
exactly.
Haydorn didn't pick up, didn't see my hand being raised and didn't pick up, which he and I are going to have words.
He's been saying stuff behind the scenes about you. I just didn't know that was going to manifest in him rebuffing your call. Wow.
Well, there's been a one-sided feud on my side, and then I squashed it, and then apparently he decided, okay, I see how it is, Zach. I see how it is. I know you're listening.
I didn't know Zach was so passive-aggressive. This is interesting. Stirring trouble. By the way, I want to get in a plug here. We've got a new PW Torch Daily Cast show called the PW Torch 90s Past Cast, and Patrick Moynihan and Alex McDonald from PWTorch.com are hosting it. It is free. It dropped on Friday, the premiere episode. They are going back to the 30 Years Ago This Week edition of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, and they're just reading through it, paging through it, pulling stuff out to look into, to react to read. And it's a fun look at an era, because they're starting 30 years ago, so 92, that isn't covered as much. I mean, the Jim Crockett promotion, early WrestleMania years are covered a lot. The boom period's covered a lot. Obviously, more recent years like John Cena in that era is talked about more. But that early 90s, it was a really interesting time that kind of led to ECW, and it was fertile ground for what ECW became, and then what Bischoff did with This Is Where the Big Boys Play and taking it to WWE. And then, that spawned the Attitude Era with Stone Cold and The Rock and DX. So check that out if you haven't yet. I think it's for people to live through it. It's just going to be fun to hear Alex and Patrick explore things they didn't watch in real time and didn't know a lot about, or react to things they haven't thought about in a long time. And then for people who don't know that era, it's just a fun way to explore the back issues. As a VIP member, you can actually read those back issues in prep for their show or right after their show to dig a little deeper into what I was writing and reporting and what our team of writers were reporting and what our Torch Talk transcripts were saying in their entirety. So it's a good accompaniment, but not a necessity, to be a VIP member and dive into the 1992 back issues. All right. We'll move on here. Again, last chance to give us a call, 347-215-8558. And last up now, as promised, is William in San Diego. William, thanks for holding. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to go back to the opening segment and particularly talk about the story that they're telling with Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Personally, I wasn't really a big fan of it because before this match was even announced or booked, Lashley versus Lesnar was like one of the few matches that like seemed WrestleMania worthy. It just seemed so big. And a lot of it was because they've done such a great job building up Lashley as someone who, believably, standing opposite of Lesnar, seems like he could be a real threat. And I feel like, they didn't completely undo all of that tonight, but the way, Lesnar was joking around, and even on commentary, like one of the things, little comments that irked me was Corey Graves saying something like, oh, you got to admit, Byron, there's probably a small part of Lashley that's afraid of Lesnar or something like that. And they're kind of doing this thing where Lashley is the underdog for some reason going into this match, and they're not doing it as two big, sweaty, meaty men going up against each other who are, just this like peers or, equal in strength. And I feel like that's a I don't know. It doesn't get me as excited as what I thought the match would be prior to when they booked it.
Yeah, if Javier, we talk a lot about the continuity issue from Monday to Friday to Monday. What about just the way Lashley came across, the way Lesnar came across, and taking this match? And I've heard WWE thinks, you know, the people high up think this is a dream match that was not going to come this soon, and they, you know, think there can be some positive that comes out of it. Is this being set up well, and are the performances and what they're scripted to say doing the most to maximize the value of this match? Or, as William's pointing out, are they actually undercutting it in some way?
Well, I think that what they're positioning today is the fact that Lesnar's not taking Lashley seriously. I'm probably going to screw them up because they both start with L's at some point, so bear with me. Lesnar at some point, you know, so because he really felt, you know, he's like, hey, you're trying to be me, and you just weren't on the same level as I was. So, you know, he is blowing him off. It does. That is the weird thing, because that is more of a heelish thing to do. While it was Jimmy Smith who mentioned that behind those sunglasses there's not an ounce of fear, and then for whatever reason, Corey Graves hit back at him and said, "What are you talking about? He's facing Lesnar. You know, somewhere deep inside there must be, you know, some level of fear." So, yeah, they're definitely building it up like in a weird way. And I think that's again, because of the whole, you know, continuity issue. What was the rest of the question?
From William or from me? You basically answered it. I mean, it was kind of a meandering, multifaceted question, but just are they getting the most out of an unexpected situation, or does it come across like this came across at a time when they didn't have all their thoughts organized, and so we're getting more of a scattershot?
Yeah, a little bit for that reason.
Yeah,
a little bit because of the continuity issue. Now, let's see what happens next week when, you know, cause, I mean, as far as Lashley's point, he is, you know, they portrayed him as furious and he wants to, you know, he's getting angry. And I'm like, I feel right now more behind Lashley than anything. But, yeah, the whole, you know, big meaty men beating each other up, I don't think that's really their style of really portraying matches like that, even though that's all you really needed for this. Just saying, you know, I mean – honestly, just Lashley and Lesnar on the marquee would have sold this match for me.
I think Lashley looks like he belongs in the ring. I asked all that in part because I'm still not sure how I feel about sort of giddy Lesnar. It's fun that he's having fun. We're seeing this different side of him. He's being asked to say a lot more. I think he gets a, you know, B+ for most of what he's doing on the mic. Every once in a while, I think, you know, there's a little wording or syntax issue that doesn't quite deliver the punch that they were going for, but it's not that big of a deal. But I'm not sure that this Lesnar is I'm not sure either way. When I say I'm not sure, I'm not saying it's definitely wrong, but I don't know if this is the version of Lesnar fans want as a babyface, like someone who's so different than just sort of man a few words, badass. And I don't mean man of no words. Like, he can have a few words, but they're having him talk a lot. And I'm a little concerned that some of the mystique might go away if he's just seems like sort of, yeah, giddy and chatty and not as mysterious and badass as he was. But again, I don't have a super strong opinion yet because I think we're early in this version of him, and he's, you know, maybe him finding his voice and doing more talking is good. So I think Lashley knows who he is, you know, and I think he's matured over time into being a main event, credible, badass, cool guy standing in the ring, looking like he belongs with Lesnar. And I thought he held his own really well, even if Lesnar, you know, had some facts on his side about all that he's accomplished. But the Lesnar character, Javier, do you agree with me sort of on that? Are you in the same place, or are you more for or against it already?
Well, because I thought that what he did on Friday with and the stuff he's done against Reigns has been pretty well, almost pitch perfect in the type of character that he's portraying. Because he's, you know, he's like rubbing it in on into Reigns, and it's working. It's working. The character that he's pushing against Reigns works. But when he tried it against Lashley, Lashley's a different animal. Because you know Reigns is someone who's trying to be in. You know, they're both kind of in control, but Reigns is more like needing to be in control and doesn't like it not being in control, and Lesnar's pushing him out of control, while Lashley, on the other hand, is just coming out as a fighter. You know, I'm a fighter. I want to fight. And, you know, so it's almost like we're getting two different Lesnars, because, you know, the stuff that he told him was saying, hey, you know, you're not on my level, and, you know, and was very dismissive of that when, you know, Lashley looks like a threat in there. He looks like a credible threat, and I think he should take him more, you know, he should be taking him more seriously. So that's pretty much, you know, so it's again, it's a tale of almost two Lesnars. Really good with the Reigns stuff, and I like him when he's talking with the Reigns stuff. And, this was just weird, you know, I have to chalk it up to continuity.
Yeah. If we strung together just, 2-hour video of everything that's gone on with Lesnar and Heyman and Reigns and now Lashley and MVP, just watching back-to-back, I just don't think it would make as much sense as it ought to, even with the audible thrown in, the forced audible at day one. What about Cedric and Shelton? When they pretended that they were, you know, back with Lashley, it was more hopeful than I think confident. I was thinking, okay, this is going to lead to them interfering either to help Lashley beat Lesnar or costing Lashley the match against Lesnar. And then, you know, the attack came right after that, a few minutes later. And I'm thinking, okay, well, now they're very anti-Lashley, so is this the escape hatch? Are they going to cost Lashley the match against Lesnar, and that's WWE's way of protecting Lashley at the Rumble?
It's a possibility. This just felt – I mean, because, again, this felt like a babyface push for Lashley, because then he gets attacked from behind by two guys, and, you know – not that Lashley's like, you know, a nice guy babyface necessarily, but, you know, he said, look, I don't want anything to do with you. And then because they were spurned, they attack him, and he fights them both, you know, he fights them off. And so it really feels like Lashley's coming across as a babyface, and he's looking like a badass. And, you know, so I that's the thing. Maybe they cost Lashley. Because did you say Lashley or Lesnar that they would cause?
That they would cause Lashley the match. I think I could have seen it go either way, except for what then they did after Lashley turned him down. It seems like it would be hard to – I think Shelton and Cedric get the message. Lashley doesn't want anything to do with them, and I don't think he's going to forgive them. But, I mean, I guess it's still possible that Lashley's turning them away, pushing away, turning away, pushing away. They're fighting, and then all of a sudden, boom, their light bulb goes off above one of Shelton or Cedric's head, and they have a little talk, and they go, hey – maybe instead of fighting him, we can help him win a championship, beat Lesnar, and he'll like us then. And, you know, that may or may not work, but that would give them the out for Lesnar losing, which, of course, WWE does very rarely.
Yeah, and the thing is, my number one option, most likely option, speak English, Javi, is the most likely option is that they're just there so that next week Lashley has somebody to wrestle, and they're not really, because the fact that they came out like in t-shirts and stuff instead of like, you know, dressing up to the nines, that, you know, and the fact that how they got thrown around, I think they're just there to stretch the time before the actual match and have Lashley do something. I think it's the more likely scenario for the poor two guys.
Yeah. All right, William, anything else for us?
Yeah, you guys spoke about Lesnar and how you're not sure about this character, this babyface character.
Yeah. Yep.
I think by my count, there were like two other callers who said they're also getting a little bit tired of Lesnar. Could that maybe be are they maybe doing that on purpose? Day one was such a curveball that I don't know where we were supposed to be at this point. I don't know where we're supposed to be going. Everything is so upside down. All the all the matches for Royal Rumble are like these weird, like, who's supposed to be a babyface, who's supposed to be a heel. So is there maybe a possibility that we were supposed to see something at day one where maybe they were going to do like a double turn or something like that? Because the vibe I'm getting from Lesnar, I do think he's being kind of over the top. And it kind of reminds me of like when last year at SummerSlam, when Becky Lynch came back and she came out and she was like almost overdoing it with the celebration and with the high fives to the fans. And she was kind of being not what you would normally expect from her cool, you know, the man character. And she was like almost being like kind of overdoing it, a little geeky, I guess is the word I would use. So is there a chance that maybe they're heading in the direction where Lesnar is turning heel and maybe Roman is the one who's going to be the face at WrestleMania? The only thing that I would enter that maybe goes against that is that from last Friday, that exchange between Lesnar and Heyman and Roman, the way Lesnar spoke to Heyman, like he's snapping at him and Roman almost defending him for a second. It feels like, to me, it almost feels like the ending or the finish to the match at Royal Rumble is going to be maybe Heyman costing Lesnar the match and going back to Heyman. And in that sense, I don't see how Lesnar would be the heel. So maybe this is the thing where, because of the weird dynamic with Lashley, Lesnar is acting a little heelish with Lashley, and Lashley is supposed to get cheered. But going back to Roman, once they go back to that program, Lesnar is expected to get cheered. I don't know. What sense do you guys get?
I'm hesitant to go too far down the road, Javier, because I think they're making it up as they go along. It's uneven. And when I say making it up as they go along, I think they know where they want to end up, but I think they're just trying to fill some TV time for an unexpected chapter in the larger arc to WrestleMania. So I'm hesitant to read too much into it, and I therefore don't have a lot of confidence on where it's heading. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat as you are, because like that's why, I mean, last week, on Fridays when I threw my hands up with the love triangle between the three of them, when I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued, but like I have literally no idea where they're going to go from here. My guess is that originally there would have been some sort of result at day one. And then you would have seen Lesnar over on Raw feuding with Lashley with Heyman at his side. And then what we saw on Friday actually happened after Royal Rumble. Lesnar wins the title from Lashley or Big E, whoever he's going to win it from at the Rumble. And then that would have, you know, you would have had the three, you know, the levels quarrel between the three of them leading into WrestleMania. That's the only thing you think of, because that puts, you know, if you were to move like some of the stuff we've already seen in that order, that would kind of make it flow better. I'm intrigued. I'm not gonna say I'm like, what the hell's going on? I don't want to watch this, you know, but I want to see how things shake out.
Yeah.
But I definitely do not have a feel for where it's going.
No. Me neither. All right, William, I appreciate the call very much. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we go? Anything quick?
No, I think that's all I had, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
A good one.
Great. Yeah, thanks as always. Yep, you too. I want to get to some emails and then make sure we hit a few things we haven't hit yet. JB from Detroit says, hi, team. It's JB from Detroit. Did you know that Seth Rollins' nickname is Freakin'? If you didn't, you better have after tonight's Raw. As usual, WWE has taken something that was cool when it was organic, appropriated it, and made it feel polished and manufactured. On a more positive note, Nikki ASV, almost a supervillain, Javier, seemingly turning heel. I think this is a great opportunity to push Rhea Ripley as a babyface star. She should have been beating Charlotte way back at the WrestleMania match a few years ago. If she goes over strong as the face in this feud with Nikki, do you guys think it's possible she could be in the mix for the women's title shot at Mania? Perhaps they finish this feud either before or after the Royal Rumble, have Rhea win the Women's Rumble, and head over to face Charlotte in a rematch at Mania to help bolster the SmackDown Women's Division, which they so desperately need. Love the show and go VIP. Sasha's injury could play into that, and maybe Ripley ends up, you know, a WrestleMania starter instead of bench player, so to speak, because of the Sasha injury. Ripley did say, you know, that she gets to choose who she faces. She's going to win the Rumble and face one of the champions. You know, kind of that seed was planted that she doesn't have to necessarily stay on Raw. Your thoughts on that with Ripley and also Seth Rollins?
Yeah, I have Ripley on the you know, shorter list as a possibility to win.
Yeah.
And what was the Rollins question?
Oh, Seth freaking Rollins, just a nickname being we're done.
Oh, yeah, I mean, just to expand on what he said about taking something like that and just driving into the ground, you have the Damian Priest, you know, let's make sure everybody knows in the top seats that, you know, there's a Damian and there's a Priest. Don't forget there's a Damian and a Priest. And what was the other one? If it comes back to me, because there was another one I made note of that's just driving me nuts on how hard they were driving something, trying to drive something home.
Yeah. All right, Wade, a VIP member from New Zealand, says, hi, Wade and Javier, was it just me or was Seth Rollins' promo much more likable, almost a tweener face one, right up until Big E arrived, and then he switched to cheap heat by insulting the city? So much of WWE heel and face dynamic is muddy these days. It's almost like they've given up trying to define Roman, Brock, Doudrop, Becky, Seth, Bobby. The top of their roster is such a mess of muddy dynamics. Thanks, gentlemen. So, yeah, most specifically, Javier, the Seth promo didn't seem like he was trying to come across more likable because it's a weird matchup with Reigns. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how they want us to respond as you know, viewers of the product. And I don't – it muddy's a good word. It feels muddy right now.
I thought he was heelish. Maybe it's just a laugh, how he dresses. But I felt he was – I was like, man, I kind of wanted to start cheering for Roman, like, outwardly now.
And do you think that's what they want, though? Like, it's part of – like, if we go back to Heyman and Lesnar are going to actually ultimately be the heels, the joke's on all of us, and this is all a ploy to get Roman cheered and get him babyface quickly because that's ultimately what Vince wants because he thinks he'll sell even more merchandise that way. And the Seth match, which seems kind of curious at first, is actually a deliberate step to try to get people to cheer Roman, and we should be on the lookout then for more signs. Because Reigns coming to Heyman's defense when he thought, you know, Lesnar was being mean to him. If we're to pluck out little things that might be clues, Roman seemed like he's coming to the defense of Paul, and now Seth is such an obnoxious heel, and it's a weird matchup, heel-heel. Are they trying to set viewers up, fans up, to cheering Roman, and that's a tell for where ultimately they want to end up at Mania?
Well, the thing about Roman is because I do subscribe to the Todd Martin School of Heels and Healing Faces, where, you know, I think you just need to have a strong character that's, you know, true to that character. And I think in the case of Roman is he has done some negative stuff, but I think he, you know, the way that they're putting him right now, I don't think they really care whether you put the name face or heel next to him and just go
just check the winner box.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Good call. But like just have what's his face. Oh, that was Cody Rhodes. For some reason, I thought that was Roman Reigns' shirt. His was, yeah, never mind. But you threw me off with, I'm stretching promote for time here. What was the question?
Are they heading towards Roman being a babyface? I think was kind of the macro question. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those cases where depending on who he's, you know, you're more likely to cheer him against Seth Rollins. You're more likely to cheer, jeer him against Lesnar. And, you know, with some of the people, you know, in the middle, and then at some point just chart the course. I just don't think they're ready to chart the course right now. And they're kind of just, you know, he's a strong character. He's the head of the table. That's kind of like his gimmick. And for some people are going to be like all for it. Some people are going to be like, no, we like these other characters better. And I think that he's kind of more nebulous in that case. And it feels like, you know, same thing with Lesnar, you know, not Lesnar, Lashley, you know, Lashley, badass, you know, but he's also, you know, perfectly not the word, but like, you know, a bit of a dick with the people around him and just like, you know, one-track mind of just hurting people, and you know, but that is that could be a, something that people cheer behind or get behind. So yeah, I mean, I think it's muddled, but in some cases you have strong enough characters with Lashley and with Lesnar, with Reigns, I mean, Seth Rollins just. He, you know, the revolutionary and the words that he uses, I mean, he is heel. So, yeah. And I am, I mean, just the knock, just because, I mean, that's one thing that thank you, Zach, for not letting me be on Friday. One of the things I picked up was the knock was the Shield song. You know,
yeah,
it was, you know, so I'm like, oh, man, that's just him rubbing it in. So, it's almost like in a TV show where you have a villain, you have the hero and a villain, and you're cheering for the hero, you're booing the villain, but then like this annoying villain shows up, and then that villain kills that annoying villain, and you cheer for the villain, but you still want the hero to beat him, but it like humanizes the villain a little bit more, so you know gives him more nuance. That's kind of how I feel what the story is between them.
All right, up next, Zach in Texas. WWE had to beg Mickie James and bring in Lita, Michelle McCool, and a bunch of divas to help fill out the Royal Rumble. And booking like we got tonight is why. Nikki turns on Rhea, thus leaving one team in the women's tag team division. Instead, using this as an opportunity to bring Nikki Cross back, it appears as though we're getting a supervillain who thinks she's a superhero. We get an awful vignette with Alexa, who's been gone for months, and yet she's still acting like Tabitha the Witch from Passions instead of a pro wrestler. It was nice finally hearing Becky cut a promo that didn't feature some disingenuous cheap shot at the crowd. Doudrop winning the triple threat was a surprise, given that they're both heels. Doesn't this constructively turn Becky babyface, or was that just wishful thinking, Zach, in Texas? I think it's wishful thinking, Zach, because she was, you know, not babyface-esque at all when it comes to Belair, unless they're kind of overlapping her still being heelish while also trying to build sympathy for her for, you know, turning her baby face if Zach is finally getting through to everybody at WWE that it was a mistake turning her. Javier.
I think this might have been Zach's most tame email I've ever heard.
Yes, yes.
That was a lot tougher with the women's with you know with injuries and some departures and stuff. I mean, granted, that's mostly been on the SmackDown side anyway. But yeah, it's just weird. I mean, I don't think they want to turn Becky babyface, but I don't think they want to turn Pepper Niven babyface either. So this is just to buy time. I mean, this is just to give them something to do the Royal Rumble until you know Bianca Belair is the next one up.
Yeah. All right, let's see. John in Tennessee says, I really don't understand the point of having Lashley beat down Cedric and Shelton again and disband the Hurt Business. I don't know why they even put them back together or broke them up in the first place. It's just bad storytelling and continuity. I guess it boils down to the fact that Vince hates factions. Any idea why Vince is so against factions in most cases? I really think WWE could use more, even if it is just to help people infuse from wrestling each and every week if they could face off against someone from the opposite faction instead. Thanks for all the great content. Everyone go VIP. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, WWE is not big on factions right now. I mean, there is the Bloodline. There was Hurt Business. But that's about it, right, at this point?
I actually have an answer for that because I called really early on that the Hurt Business was not going to be long for this world. And I got a lot of, you know, pushback and like, you know, on that. And 2 weeks later, and the reason is because Vince McMahon – views like stuff like a spotlight, and he wants the spotlight on the one center act. That's why actually earlier in this call I mentioned I don't want them to know that I'm more interested in Heyman, because then they fire Heyman because they want everything to be on Reigns, you know. So that's what happened with the Hurt Business, is that they were used to help, you know, get him up to that position, but when they felt that he had gotten enough shine on him, or you know, heat on him, when he had enough equity built in on him, that's when they're like, okay, we don't need them anymore, because you know, whatever they have is taking away from Lashley, as if that were like a finite resource. So even you mentioned the bloodline, but how close have the Usos been with Reigns lately? Have they not been more an afterthought that they're, you know, kind of like, hey, yeah, we're his cousins. But they haven't been, like, intrinsically involved in the storylines lately. It's just basically been Roman Reigns and Heyman. So, you know, because that's his philosophy, which is really weird because that's like a very communist philosophy where there's only a certain, you know, there's only a certain amount of spotlight available for everybody. So if somebody else has a little bit of the spotlight, you're taking it from somebody else, which is not the way it works. Is, you know, sometimes what's the expression? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, you know? So that's kind of like, you know, so it's a weird thing. I think that you'd be better off with factions or at least with groups because you enhance people and they don't have to take losses and, you know, for many reasons, but you know, if it's just seizes a spotlight.
Javier, what else is in your notes on Raw that you'd like to bring up before we wrap up here?
The thing I was talking about, the one I mentioned that they overdo something, that was almost how now apparently the cameramen are shooting him from their knees.
Yeah.
With that ridiculous angle that they showed. I mean, it's obvious that the cameraman is down by the floor. So it's just I found that super aggravating. Wait.
Yep.
Okay. And
what?
we didn't talk about Edge and Miz.
Yep. I have that highlighted too. I don't know there's a lot to it. I mean, it was just trying to, you know, I think Edge is like, hey, it was a real treat seeing Beth and me interact last week. You've never seen that before. But I will say it was noteworthy. I thought it was Beth Phoenix's like best performance on the mic. I actually thought she kind of stayed within her acting range, and they, I think, you know, told the story that she's badass and Maryse has something to worry about and Miz maybe does too. I thought it was, you know, smartly laid out and executed in terms of, you know, building up anticipation for Edge and Beth, you know, laying a beating on Miz and Maryse and making it seem like they deserve it because, you know, they're very obnoxious with the video. I liked Miz saying his inside sources at USA Network that told, you know, that tipped him off so that he decided then to prepare his own video.
Yeah, and more importantly, for the people who are new to the party, it tells you who Beth Phoenix and Maryse are.
Yes. Yep, and that is a good thing to do. Austin Theory and AJ Styles, I know it was mostly a transition to Grayson Waller and what's happening tomorrow night on NXT, but it was pretty good while it lasted, Javier.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I'm liking Austin Theory. He's like all in on what he's doing. And I think that's really important. And he seems confident and, you know, sharing the ring with, you know, AJ Styles. That's, I want to see this match come to a conclusion too. I don't know anything about the other guy, Grayson.
Yeah. Grayson Waller.
Yeah. So yeah. Grayson Waller, I haven't been watching NXT. But I might actually just check out that match tomorrow. So,
that's what they want you to do.
So, yep. So mission accomplished.
And I thought this week was the most heelish Omos has been and the most clear-cut AJ was a babyface, even though the Grayson Waller feud certainly established that. I think there was some ambiguity or muddiness in their dynamic before the breakup and even right after the breakup, even if we could kind of tell what they wanted us to do. I don't think there was evidence without the steering of commentary to make it obvious who we're supposed to dislike, but Omos was quite a jerk today, and Styles taking on Austin Theory certainly sets him up as a babyface, as does the Grayson Waller feud. But that's sort of in another universe, although those universes aren't as different as they used to be.
Styles, based on what I've heard in commentary, seems like they might be prepping him for something big because they were talking about this is a different AJ Styles, so that also put him on the men's rumble, also put him in mind for that.
What'd they do with him last week, Javier?
With AJ Styles?
Yeah,
they killed him.
Yeah, so I guess that fits. Big E is going to win the rumble too, maybe a little sharper. Yeah. Anything else?
And then there was the Damian Priest thing. I don't think there's much to talk about that. Although there were two, I didn't notice the tag finishes in a row on the show. So, and anything else with Rollins? No, I think that's about it. Let me check my. Yeah, Alexa Bliss. My notes for Alexa Bliss was that happened.
Yeah. All right. So we'll wrap up there. Javier, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Sure. Great being here. I'm going to be really angry tomorrow when I realize there's something I forgot, but what else is new?
You can email us. Everyone's welcome to email us your thoughts. If we missed anything or disagree with anything, or you just want to talk about anything else other than what we talked about, raw or otherwise, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. Javier, thank you. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our emailers. Thanks to our listeners. And until next time, Wade Keller signing off.